is 107 The Blaze. 107 Blaze.rock.
What it do, people? This is Jeremy with Why Wouldn't We? And you're listening to Rock Rage Radio, so turn it up.
I just kind of, you know, you got these claws and you're staring at these claws, man. And you're thinking to yourself with these claws, you're thinking, man, how am I supposed to kill this bunny?
And you're poking at it, man.
You're not hurting it. You're just kind of gently batting the bunny around. You know what I mean? And the bunny's scared, Mike. The bunny's scared of you.
And you got
these
fucking claws,
and these fangs, man. And you're looking at your claws and you're looking at your fangs. And you're thinking to yourself, I don't know what to do, man. I don't know how to kill the bunny. With this, you don't know how to kill the bunny. Do you know what I mean?
You're like a big bear, man.
So you're not just like fucking
with me. I'm not fucking with
honestly,
you. Honestly. Mike, I'm telling you, your money.
You're so fucking money.
All right, I want you to go over to that girl and I want you to get those digits.
Your money.
Come here a second. Listen to me. Now look it. When you go up to talk to her, man, I don't want you to be the guy.
BFC at the bottom of the can. Do you know what that stands for? That's the F word. Big can.
Taste me, bro. Don't taste me.
No.
I didn't do anything.
No.
Ow! Ow!
Hear your names. Mr. Brown, Mr. White, Mr. Blonde, Mr. Blue, Mr. Orange, Mr. Pink.
Why am I Mr. Pink?
Because you're a faggot, all right?
I'm gonna rip off some pubic hairs and throw it on the steps. Now you're cursed. Every time someone walk on my cursed pubic hairs, they balls is gonna explode. Unless it's a female, and then her titties is gonna explode. That's the curse I put on the stairs on Wells Fargo.
Burgers. I want pickles and ketchup on them. I don't load it up, bunch of bullshit! I want a Biggie Fries and give me some shit!
The Dreams just came to get lucky in hopes a pot of gold may be buried under this tree.
I'm gonna run a backhoe and uproot that tree. I wanna know where the gold is. I want the gold. Give me the gold. I want the gold.
This is.
Everybody be cool. You be cool.
Hell yeah, people. Well, I don't know why y'all got me doing this crazy stuff, but hey, I like it anyway. Hey, man, we got a crazy one for y'all this time. We got an interview with Tim Suck from Clutch. We've got an interview with Brad Roberts from the Crash Test Dummies. That's right, Brad Roberts from the Crash Test Dummies. Ike and Jeremy, they're going to change the way that you're looking at dating forever. And Wiener, well, she's just going to be her usual Wiener self. Now, ladies and gentlemen, live from the Deep End Media Studios in Dallas, Texas, Why Wouldn't We Radio is on the air.
So we learned that Ashley is a terrible, terrible wingman.
Yes.
So bad.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to bring that up.
Oh, which I think we should.
Let's go there.
Yeah, I think we absolutely should.
The three of us were hanging out, mm-hmm. as we are prone to do.
Yep.
Every once in a blue moon.
When we can
we'll go
a
and we'll share a dinner.
Yes. And
just the three of us.
We did the dinner movie combo. Mm-hmm.
We told him about this.
Right, last week. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We went and saw The Infiltrator.
I've slept.
It's all good, but we amazingly forgot to mention, because we got to go back and tell them about Weed Socks.
Oh, yeah.
I met a friend, but before that, mm-hmm. we were at dinner, and the fact that we are on the radio happened to come up to the waitress.
Well, no, I think you're not giving
enough happened to come up.
Well, you're not giving enough backstory on
it. I'm not?
No. What happened was, the waitress and I had a connection.
Oh, you lasered her.
I lasered her. For our listeners, if you don't know, my eyes
like
have been given awards because they're so beautiful. It's a certain color of green. Sometimes they change to blue when necessary.
They're gray when he's sad.
And then they're gray when I'm sad. And they're changing. They're called lasers. Because
they're complicated like he
once,
is.
Once a lady friend looks into my eyes, mm-hmm. I've lasered her, and I know that she is mine now.
So I gotta look over here.
You looked her in the eye, and you told her...
She was laughing at jokes.
...that you wanted a baked potato, and it was at that point that you lasered her.
Yeah, well, no, I told her I wanted the rare steak.
Mm. Oh.
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 Okay. I must not
like to know where this is going.
I like the rare steak. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're about to find out where it went.
You know, because we're having a good time. And she's coming in. She's digging it. She's cute.
Yeah.
You know, but it's always hard to hit on, you know, service people, right? We've all been waiters and waitresses at some point in our life. And which I suggest that everyone has to, it's a rite of passage.
It is. Yeah. It's your rite of passage definitely. Into adulthood. Yeah. You have to wait a table at least once.
Yeah, but
point being, yeah, so we're trying to come up with a clever way to help you out. Cause, you know,
because you don't know how to close with them because they hear it probably all the time.
They sure do. Right. But so we're trying to, so she has a side business. Okay.
I found that out.
So she has a side business.
Discovery questions.
Wiener. Was hitting her up for her side business. Mm-hmm. So she, yeah, you know, they exchange like business cards or whatever. Right. Yeah, and okay, it's like they're gonna be friends.
Right.
Yeah. Definitely.
Offline friends.
She'll bake cookies for me.
Set it up.
Well, that's our end. You know what I mean? Like we have a party or whatever, and you invite what's her face after you've already you know, purchased from her side business.
Yeah.
So it's set up, it's rigged.
We've set it up, but Ashley was being pushy. You know, she's like, "Well, just leave her." The generic, and if guys do this, you don't deserve to ever have sexual intercourse again.
Never.
Do not leave your number on a receipt.
Never.
Like you expect them to call you. That's what
it's
Ashley.
True.
So this is how she leads it. Well, go close it out. No, I'm not, because I have a process. There's a process with me hitting on women and how I go about doing that, and it's kind of drawn out.
Well, you want them to come to you, if I remember right. It's like a moth to a flame.
Exactly. So I could envision us going back to this restaurant again, maybe a few more times, because you
swarm it up.
You drop something. You're like, "Hey, we have a radio
show." Yeah, no, I know how to tee it up. Okay. Yeah. For whatever reason, we turned it over to this one. And do you want to tell the people
as we get into
what you decided to do to help our poor friend Jeremy? He's all right. We're trying to help him find a bass player.
I just want
what
a bass
did
player.
You do? What did you say to her?
Well,
offline, you sent her a text message.
Mm-hmm. Okay, no, well, I was a little, I was just a little in a tired, sleepy frame of mind.
Oh.
You know, I'm like movie. A little old lady. I like go to bed at like 9 or 10. So I texted her and I said, "Hey, this is Ashley. How are you? By the way, do you like Jeremy?"
Are we in fifth grade?
By the way.
So now a place that I like.
He likes you.
Yeah, so now a place that I like to go get steak. Because I like to
eat
steak.
You didn't even like that place.
I was willing to come back because part of my process, like I said, there was a process.
That yeah. We were going to go back and it was going to be organic.
Now I'm banned for life.
We can never go back there.
Never.
None of us can show our faces. She ruined it for even me.
Yeah,
I can't even go in there solo and have a steak.
No.
She's going to be like, you're with them.
You're with them.
Oh, the radio.
I'm going to go in there.
Yeah, the radio show.
She gets the girl to
doesn't
hit
even
on
exist,
me.
Probably.
Check yes or no. Do you like Jeremy?
What an entertaining show that must be.
I don't know. So that's
got to be gold.
That's how our evening started.
Well, now you know she really didn't like you.
No, we don't know that.
She
Ashley.
Could if she really liked you, thought you were. If you, if no. your lasers really worked,
the lasers wore off. All right, he needed to laser her. It was like surgery. She needed to be lasered more.
I don't think
before
it
would take effect.
I think any self-respecting woman would not, when another girl asks if you like another guy, like you're in fifth grade, is not going to respond back. Which I would think that
I would
she
respond
is.
Back. I don't know. Just...
Well, exactly. Any self-respecting woman. So you now understand what I'm saying.
I think we need to dive further into dating later on in the show.
Yeah, we have a new segment.
When we unveil our new segment.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
And they're going to love it.
That's for later.
Yes.
I promised them twice now. I brought up the individual that we met at the theater, that I met, actually. You two went, were already in the theater.
Already in the theater. We got there extremely early.
But we were having a conversation. We were all worked up because of dinner that we're in the line while we're waiting for our drinks.
That's right, yes, okay.
Yeah.
Because I insisted we had to be early.
Yeah, we got on the subject, if you're unfamiliar with Jeremy and his preferences. Then you need to know that if you're a woman and he's going to date you, then your hands have to be a certain size or else he gets embarrassed.
Yes, very, very, preferably.
Very embarrassed.
The Irish curse struck him hard.
Yeah, it's rough.
It's a lot of work needs to be done, I'm sure.
And, well, I prefer women to have dwarf hands.
Dwarf hands.
That's a good start.
What?
Yeah.
So if you're a dwarf woman, that's apparently just...
Not a dwarf... No. That gets weird. That's more...
Whatever. So she can have dwarf hands, but has to be like... Okay. So, I get it.
Some reason I'm picturing the guy from Scary Movie with the little bitty hand and he kept trying to touch me.
That's perfect for Jeremy here.
That's it.
That's completely... So that's what I prefer. So we're having this conversation. I'm waiting because I want to get Twizzlers.
And this woman behind us starts laughing at us.
Why is she listening in to when we talk?
She was eavesdropping.
Why is she eavesdropping?
She was an eavesdropper.
I mean, I know we're very engaging.
And, I mean, so just further evidence that this is what we do 24/7, not just on the show.
It's very
but
embarrassing.
Always talking about this, like this, hand size... It's applicable in every scenario.
Yeah.
So she goes, sorry, I couldn't help but over here.
Yeah, you heard us.
You guys must be Seinfeld fans.
Yeah, we're Seinfeld.
You actually are a Seinfeld fan.
I am a Seinfeld fan. I grew up watching it.
Never watched it ever.
Yeah, DG loves it.
Never watched it.
I'm just not there.
There's something wrong with you. I love a show about nothing.
It's a show about nothing.
And it's
I know.
Genius. But I think what people need to understand, and this lady who was rudely eavesdropping in on our conversation, which she looked a little worn out. She looked to be... You know,
can you define worn out?
Oh, God.
You know, I don't know. Just went on like a meth binger. Been up for 5 days. But listening to what we have to say. But anyways, but I didn't get it from Seinfeld. This is through trial and error of dating in my life.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I got that and came to a particular hand size. You know, but... Yeah, so, you know, just her listening, and then we had to tell her, no, you know, it's not from Seinfeld, and...
But thank you, and then it's like we awkwardly turn away.
Yeah, and I wanted to make sure I didn't shoot her with the lasers, because I don't want her to be a lasers. She wasn't a target.
You didn't need her sitting next to you in the theater.
I wish Ashley would have texted her. That would have been a lot.
Do you like our friend?
Do you like a friend?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
So...
I'm shaking.
So, all right. So, moving forward, we're about to watch the movie. I go back out because I decide I want popcorn. So, I'm in the line by myself. And I start people watching, as I'm prone to do.
I love people watching.
There's a couple of younger guys in line ahead of me. And I'm looking at the choices that they've made as far as fashion
otherwise
is
known
concerned.
As people judging is what they do.
People judging, perhaps. Well, okay. All right. Well, here we go. He had on a snapback backwards. Okay, he had on a beater.
DG puts
on his backwards snapback. You know, he was sagging, and he had weed socks that were pulled up. No, whenever I say weed socks, he had his socks
like knee high.
Like normal. I don't even personally want my socks to show. He had his on full display. They were pulled up as close to his knees he could get them, and they had marijuana leaves on them. He went so hard that he put them on his socks. I'm all for whatever decision you make in your personal life, but you know what? If you're going to put it on display, then I have every reason to critique it.
Screams, so, I'm smoking weed. Please arrest me.
Please arrest me right now.
Well, it depends on what state you're in.
I'm surrendering.
No, okay, so he's talking to his friend, and...
I can imagine.
They obviously, you could hear it in their voices, and he gets really excited. He has a revelation. He's like, "Bro, I just remembered." Well, no, seriously, I just remember what they have here. Do you know what they have here? And the other dude's like, "What?" And he goes, "I don't know if you've had a drink from these Coke machines, but dude, anything you want
anything
is in the Coke machine, bro.
I guess I wasn't there for that.
Like, so, because it's like, and it comes, I swear to God, it comes out of the same hole that the ice comes out of or whatever. I don't know what's going on in there.
I wonder how long it took them to actually pick a flavor. From
I don't know.
Because it was, it's that automated.
Because it's the automated thing with all the buttons, the touch screen. God help them if it was out of whatever they were looking for. That threw them for a loop that they stood in for half an hour.
But I thought it came out of the same hole.
At that level, carbonated water is completely fine.
This thing is, it is. It's too smart for me. So then, but at this point, they're so in depth into this conversation over the soda machine.
How they smelled? Did they smell them?
How do you think they smelled? They smelled like a grape cigarillo. and at this point, the guy behind the counter is actually having to snap at them. He's going, hey, are you guys? Did you want to order or anything?
That's a strong snap.
They go, I was authoritative. Mm-hmm. So he finally gets their attention. It takes them as long as you would imagine that it would take them to order. Mm-hmm. And then they before they even get what they've ordered, they wander off to the Coke machine.
I love it.
They took their cups and were like, oh, I guess we must be done.
You know what's great about that, though? I would say, and typically I'm dead on when I get percentages.
Dead on.
I would say 93% of our listening audience can relate to that point in their life.
I've had that moment in my
life. Haven't you? And it's a great moment to have. I mean, you don't want to stay there, obviously.
No.
And maybe less weed sock. But
it's like when I discovered Talkies for the first time.
Because you can pass time watching Murder, She Wrote and just be so happy. And so enamored.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Angela Lansbury is a genius. How does she do it every episode?
Bro.
She never gets it wrong. So I meant to tell you guys that last week. We previewed it, but you know, there it is. There's Wheat Socks and the story of his adventures to the movies. I hope he's, you know what? I hope he's high right now and listening. He's probably having the time of his life.
Bro, they're talking about
holy hell!
I wore those Wheat Socks. Bro. I haven't taken them off since.
He's still wearing them right now. Yeah, I think we're good. Welcome to Why Wouldn't We Radio, guys. Appreciate you hanging out with us today. We got a hell of a show. We're going to interview Tim Solt with Clutch. You guys should know who he is.
Awesome.
We're also going to interview Mr. Brad Roberts of Crash Test Dummies. So this is arguably, potentially, probably our greatest show ever.
We'll see. Don't build it.
I'm not going to build it. All right. Now you said that you had an announcement.
We have an announcement.
Is that right?
Oh, yes, I do. I'm going to try my best to announce it correctly.
Everybody breathe.
We let her do that.
Okay, hold on. Let me straighten my shirt.
Okay. Pinch the gooch.
Pinch the gooch.
That'll make sense later.
Yes, I have one. We are moving to a new time after the next week. We are taking a hiatus next week.
After the next week.
After the...
I don't know why we let her do this.
So 2 weeks from now.
This is why.
2 weeks from this day, we will be on a new time slot with both 107 Blaze.rocks and Rock Rage Radio. Our new time for 107 Blaze.rocks is 7 to 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, Monday still. Also, we will still be doing Saturdays with Rock Rage Radio, but we will be doing them from... doing the show from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern time.
Repeat that.
4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern time. Oh my goodness!
So we're moving.
The cue card guy quit.
We're going 3 hours. Our listeners have demanded it, and I don't blame them. So it has been demanded, and we listen. To the feedback.
Yeah.
And so we've got 3 hours now. We're going to be on in the West Coast. And those guys will be able to talk to us a little bit or hear us a little bit more. Y'all, bro?
Yeah.
We're going to say bro a lot
more. Y'all can
more.
Sleep in on Saturdays that. Now.
Yeah, no.
Which is good. You know, so for me, personally, I'm happy because when it comes on Saturday morning, when I have the lady of the night that stays over, whoever sure. I typically want, sure. stay over, like I have to, it's awkward. I'm like, you know, you need to stay because I want her to hear me on the radio, you know, and to have that.
Oh, I'm on the radio. I don't
listen,
talk
don't
about
listen
it.
To this. So now, this but I really don't want her to stay. I want
to make it
gone,
up to her for
you know?
The night before.
I don't want the cuddling and things like that. It doesn't matter. If I'm done, I'm done. So what the good news about that is now I don't have to worry about that any longer. And we can just move to the afternoon. She can be gone. She can be in at 1 and out at 107. And we're completely fine.
Well,
I'm happy we could help you with that.
Does that go on an application?
It's not even going to take a full 10
okay.
minutes.
So big. So just so that everyone knows, and you realize when you listen to our show,
yes.
not this Saturday, but next, it is not the movie Groundhog's Day. We are doing a replay of this fantastic show.
Yep.
And then when we come back, we will be on 4 p.m. Eastern to 7 p.m. Eastern.
That is correct.
On Rock Rage in 10 to 7.
That's 3 to 6 Central.
I've got okay. one more announcement. One more.
Oh.
So this is kind of just going to be real quick. So tonight
like
we're
I'm in elementary school again with the morning announcements.
So we are creating a couple of contests for anybody who wants to win Eva Under Fire's new album, Anchors. It is a fantastic album. You can catch the review at www.
We're going to play some later.
Yes, www.whywouldn'twe.radio.com. Also on Eva Under Fire's Facebook page. Go like it. It's awesome. For that day, what day is that going to be? The 22nd, we're going to be doing the Facebook Live, and anybody who posts any questions for Eva Under Fire will be entered in the contest to win one of their albums, which will be announced at the end of the show. Also, anybody who listens, we're going to give away 3 albums that day. Now, on the 29th, for Rock Rage Radio listeners only, so you got to tune into the Rock Rage Radio app, we are going to be creating an event. So anybody who signs on to the event will be entered the contest once, but anyone who listens to Rock Rage Radio and hears the special drop word will be entered to win 3 times.
Special drop word.
All right, let's kick up Wiener's World. We got a big show.
Yep.
Sorry, guys. I wasn't expecting such a epic.
That was probably the best intro you've had, and you found a way to screw it up. DG did an awesome job.
He really did.
Ashley just decides.
Whoa. Oh, are you on the air?
I'm
got
sorry,
startled
guys.
By my own entrance.
Ashley, can you please beat us down with your stories?
DG, how you doing back there?
Well, thank you for the wonderful entrance music that I ruined. Okay, so Wiener's World is going to be cut a little short today. With the main headline is there's a lot of people at the Olympics that have these really weird purple bruises all over them. It's like, I don't know, there's Michael Phelps had it, Alex Nadeau had it, Natalie Coughlin had it, you know, they're all of them.
Is it some sort of weird, scantily clad Rio de Janeiro and
follow
STD?
Follow them around their techno-Latin
their
music.
Their weird bruises.
they call it something down there.
Talking in their devil language.
Their devil languages. Mm-hmm. That's
okay, sir, what's the point of the story, Ashley?
So the point of the story is that the secret that they have for their Olympic performances is they've actually been using a Chinese therapy, which basically involves cupping. They cup. Cupping.
Oh, come here.
We cup with us.
It's Chinese cupping. It basically involves heating small glass cups, then placing them on the skin and pulling them from the body to loosen and relax muscles.
Is it because of Zika?
You're plunging, basically, is what they're doing.
It has nothing to do with Zika or the swamp water.
I tell you, or the swamp water. Yeah, the crap water that's all down there. And, you know, it's just a train wreck. But here's another thing.
I'm bruised.
So now, I didn't realize this either. You know, they have the Paraplegic Olympics that's following this in this in Brazil or Rio.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well, not for Russia. Did you not hear what happened to those guys again?
No.
Oh, I figured Ashley would cover this since this is her freaking...
I don't like where this is going, though. You brought in Russia and you brought in paraphrases in the same breath.
They're already accused of doping on just the Olympics right now. But on the paraplegic Olympics, they've taken it a step further and they put a blanket ban on all the paraplegic athletes in Russia because apparently they're doping.
What?
Yes. They said... Yeah, they're saying next, basically, so the officials, which I don't know if Dick Pound is part of the paraplegic IOC, but it says that, you know, they're strongly criticizing Vladimir Putin government for prioritizing medals over morals. So they're just cheating all around.
Just across.
But I could see that in the gym, you know, if you want to HGH it up.
Yeah.
You know, to get that growth.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that, I don't know.
I'm being very careful with this one, but, with paraplegic juicing.
Dude, I mean, like on the racing, like on the sprints.
Yeah.
With the arms. Like, they're already strong as all get out upper body, dude.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's upper body.
Can you imagine, though, if they're playing the basketball and the checks that come from them? like Paraguay, the Paraguay guys getting just slammed.
What Jeremy says does not represent why we're doing radio as a whole.
You know, the poor little Japanese folks are just getting drilled, you know. So I doubt it because they're more ninja like.
So then. Well, that's why they're not getting banned.
Yeah.
So if it was if it were quadriplegic Olympics, would anybody know if they were juicing?
See, I didn't take it that far.
That's the rhetorical question at the end of the day.
Would they have? I don't know. They would. What to ask?
We'll look into that.
Let's do some reporting.
But,
on that.
I think Ashley has the story of the week though.
I think she does.
Story of the week. Oh yes, this one's great. Okay,
it actually goes into Japan. I was trying to transition it, but.
Sorry. Yes. In other Asian news, I guess that's the best way to phrase it. A prank goes wrong in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, at a hibachi grill when a woman claims she was sexually assaulted by a little boy peeing at her face.
It's so awesome.
Sounds bad. It sounds bad, right? It's actually just the wee wee squirting little boy that all hibachi grills use.
Yeah.
You know.
I didn't know it was in all of them.
Right.
I mean, basically, you can buy it for like $5 on Amazon. So we're going to play you a clip for listeners out there. Look it up on YouTube or Google, you know, but we're going to play the clip right now and you can hear what she says.
Yep.
We begin tonight with a bizarre police report that's going to make you do a double take.
No doubt about that. Cops called after a woman in Murfreesboro says she was sprayed in the face with a restaurant water toy. And called it sexual assault.
New at 10 tonight, our Jason Lamb looked into this. Jason, this all happened at a hibachi restaurant.
Yeah, that's right. And the restaurant says the water toy they were using was just part of their normal act for diners. They say they couldn't believe it when police showed up.
It's just usual.
They have those all the time. Report. Oh, I love this guy already.
The folks at Wasabi Japanese Steakhouse in Murfreesboro say, along with dinner,
fire's coming.
Diners get a show. But now one diner says last night she thinks the cooks here showed a little too much of the little guy in the cook's hand.
Like to hold the water.
Little guy in the cook's hand.
Here's a closer.
Oh, okay.
He's peeing and putting the fire out.
And that's what's up.
I love it. Absolutely.
It's harmful. It sprays
water made to look like the figure is urinating when its toy pants are lowered.
I like how they show it from the side,
though. Last night
at
dinner, Wasabi Restaurant admits one of the chefs shot some of the water in the face of one of its customers.
So awesome.
It
peed on
it. She deserved it.
Oh.
Basically.
It shot water out of its penis. How's that?
Out of
How's
its...
that?
She looks like she would like it under normal circumstances.
Isabel and James Lassiter.
Does that make sense?
Here on a job from Texas say they were mortified when the chef essentially made the toy urinate water on Isabel.
In front of our minor children and grandchildren.
It really didn't have a wiener, but you got the point.
They were so upset, they even called the police, citing assault.
It was a sexual style of assault.
If you could see this guy, he's got noted the doll longest wasn't, hair.
Well, anatomically correct.
They're hoping to make
but
so
Isabel
much money off
and James
of this.
Say that doesn't matter.
I mean, just because it didn't have a wiener.
Just because somebody may cut off that little piece of plastic to say, okay, it's not there anymore, doesn't change the fact that you're getting peed on.
Yeah, I really
the general manager, Johnny Huang.
So can we, for our listening audience that don't have the video, can we describe that couple?
So they didn't
represent Texas very well.
No, not at all. So
Tennessee,
I want the audience.
You mean Tennessee?
No, they were from Texas.
From
they
Texas.
Were visiting Tennessee.
This is your story, right?
And I want the audience to come up with a first draft of the kind of people that you would expect to see front row at a Billy Ray Cyrus concert. And I want you to keep that. Those are the people that were in the video.
It's just because they cut off a little piece of plastic.
They don't mean it, though.
That don't mean
thing.
It ain't dirt.
Just because
my wife got peed on in front of our minor children.
They the only minor, person who pees on her is that. Me.
Time out.
Did you just say it?
Mm-hmm. He said it in front of my minor children and grandchildren. What the hell?
Oh, I didn't even catch
oh,
that.
Oh, my gosh. That is so...
So your grandchildren are the same age as your kids?
I wouldn't doubt it, DG, with those two.
Minor children and grand... Oh.
Ouch.
Yeah.
That's painful math to have to
do. He ain't from Texas. He from Kentucky.
Either way, but that is the most ridiculous. I mean, what was crazy to me, just watching the video, they were stone cold face. Like, I expect to see like a crack of a smile or something. Like, you can't be serious. This has happened so much.
Their lawsuit's serious.
And Hibachi Grills. By the way, audio gold from the Hibachi chef. That I would love to just take some drops from him, the way he talked. It was perfect. I won't do the voice because
you're
I can't do voices.
Yeah, we established that.
But audio gold, yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. So, America, we will leave you with that. We're going to take a very quick break. Let's hear Oh Isabella by Clutch. And then we're going to come back with an interview with Mr. Tim Solt of Clutch. So... We will be right back in just a moment.
Oh,
Hey, this is Wiener with Why Wouldn't We, and you're listening to Rock Rage Radio.
In mid-afternoon, 'cause that's when it all hurts the most.
Welcome back, guys. Why Wouldn't We Radio's back here with you. Want to thank everybody for hanging out with us here. In case you're unfamiliar with the way things work with this show, we air live on Monday nights, 107blaze.rocks at 7:45.
And on Facebook Live.
And on Facebook Live, of course. But that's, as Wiener explained earlier, that's running low on time. That's not going to be happening much longer.
No.
This week, next week, then we move to 7 o'clock on Monday nights.
7 o'clock Monday nights.
Then we air Saturdays on Rock Rage Radio.
For now. I mean, we're always going to be on Rock Rage, but the time slot will change.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. But what we're going to share with you now, Wiener and I had an awesome opportunity to sit down with Mr. Tim Sult of Clutch.
I wasn't there, sorry.
You were off lasering somebody, I think, if I remember.
Yeah,
lasering
so
was
hard.
So good.
So hard.
Tim would be proud of you.
I hope so.
All right, so let's go ahead and check out this interview that Wiener and I had with Tim Sult of Clutch. Enjoy.
Welcome back, guys, to Why Wouldn't We Radio. We're back on the air here. And this is truly a special day for us.
Yes.
It is. This is a big day. We have the pleasure of speaking with Mr. Brad Roberts of the one and only Crash Test Dummies. Brad, how are you feeling today, brother?
I feel quite well. How do you feel?
Oh, man. We're on top of the world.
Okay, technical difficulties on getting Clutch back up, so give us a second. I think the reason that happened, and I don't blame DG for this, it's because I wasn't part of that interview.
Yeah.
He just was so eager to
He's
hear
just so eager to hear it. My voice. I was part of the crash, part of Brad Roberts, but I was not
Yeah, you sat in on the Brad Roberts interview. You were not here to do Clutch.
Right.
Let's see here. We're going to get that up and going for you. Are we good, DG?
Okay. Couple more seconds. Anyways, in Olympic news.
In Olympic news. Yeah, we're running around with bruises. They're getting plunged by the Chinese.
But you know what I think we should do, though, is we went to the gym. Remember that? Of course you remember that. You were there.
I was there.
Since we're trying to work out together, you had that trip that you're going to Japan. I'm just trying to refine my body.
Yep.
To
you're
more,
tired of leaving your shirt on.
Yeah, I'm tired of my shirt being on. You know, and so, you know, I think we need to maybe next show, whenever we have our 3 hour show, I think that we need to bring up what happened at the gym.
God, so much happened at the friggin' gym.
Yeah, the dude, the salesman out front.
There was a salesman. He wanted me. He didn't get to you, no. I don't think, because you got there after me, and I was able to warn you. But you got to see he had the tent up. He was putting his tent up whenever you got there.
He was very enthused
about getting us to buy paintball tickets.
I know. So he literally was trying to get you to. Didn't he hand you the flyer?
He did. He did what all great salesmen do.
Mm-hmm.
If they have a prop,
right.
Then he will give you the prop for you to hold while you're standing there. So he's like, here, man.
Yeah, bro.
Hold this for me. He's like, hold this. And I'm
what if you had no interest in paintball?
Well, he's depending on something that's a very brave move for any salesman to do, and that is depend on human decency.
Mm-hmm.
But chances are, if you have a gym membership, you probably have at least a little human decency, right?
No.
At least a little?
Man, no. Remember that big dude that was in there doing the dumbbell pre-dance? Like he was listening to DMX. X going to give it to you?
I wonder if X gave it to you.
Well, X gives it to me
every
time that I need to get pumped up.
Yeah.
I have that song like queued up.
I know. Yeah, I do too.
So X going to give it to me.
And X... will consistently deliver.
If you need that little extra, just
point being, he gave me the he gave me the certificate mm-hmm. to hold, and he was like, "You see what this is, man?" Uh-huh. You know, he's real smiling,
right?
You know, smiling to the point where I can clearly see the gaps between his teeth.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's in close. And he's going, okay, you see this, man? Here's what this is.
Bro.
You recognize this? This is 12. These are 12 tickets to paintball. Okay? You like paintball? Bro. And I'm like, well, man, yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm a casual, you know, once maybe a year paintball kind of guy.
Are you signaling, Sasha?
I'm signaling.
Are we good?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, that was good. Hey, we covered very well.
That was the
and
the
to be continued.
Yeah, we got great improv.
How does the salesman's story conclude? Find out when we return.
That's how males small talk
exactly. here. All right, let's. So now we have Clutch.
Timsel with Timsel. Clutch. Bam. Here we go.
Boom.
Welcome back, guys, to Why Wouldn't We Radio. It is truly, truly an honor on this particular show. We have got on the line with us. We've got Mr. Tim Salt, the guitarist for the one and only Clutch. Tim, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. How are you, brother?
I'm good. Thanks for that introduction, and thanks for having me.
Hey, man, it is an honor. I've been a fan of Clutch since I was in high school. You know, I've also got Wiener here with me as well. Say hey, Wiener.
Hi, I've got a little nervous, you know, I'm just so excited.
Oh, you guys are starting to make me feel like some kind of rock star or something.
Oh, some kind.
I wonder.
Just a tad, man. Well, some things that we wanted to talk to you about. You've obviously got the Psychic Warfare Tour coming up next month, and it starts in Europe. You'll be coming back to the U.S. a little bit in the fall and then back to Europe again in the winter. Is that right?
Yep. That's what we have going on for the rest of the year so far. We're trying to, you know, let people know that Psychic Warfare is out there.
Yeah. They definitely need to know. And to our audience here, you can go to prorock.com for the details on the tour and the tour dates. Let me ask you, how does a European Clutch crowd compare to a U.S. Clutch crowd?
Well, you know, these days Europe and the U.S. are very, very similar as far as crowd sizes go. It used to be that when we went to Europe, the shows were a lot smaller, but nowadays, you know, we've managed to get them up to the level where we're playing for as many people over there as we play to over here.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I would honestly say the biggest difference is that people in America get a lot more drunk at shows.
Not surprising.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds about right.
Yeah, so that's what I see as the biggest difference.
Well, I guess a drunk audience would be a little bit, are they a little bit more rowdy? Are they a little bit more appreciative of the music, or how would you describe that?
You know, over there, they're definitely way appreciative of the music, that's for sure. Over the past few years, we've started to have some really good shows in Germany and the UK especially. And it's just been incredible, you know, being able to go over there and play to, you know, as many people as we play to over here. It's pretty great, you know.
Oh, that's awesome.
Do you have any, I know you've played in Europe before. Do you have any interesting European experiences that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, let's see. Well, we've had a few rough border crossings over the years.
Uh-oh.
Let's just leave it at that. Luckily, we've never had any, you know, anything really too bad happen to us over there.
Oh, that's
but,
good.
We'll be going to Poland and Croatia for the first time ever. Aww. On this next tour. So.
I saw that.
You know, we try to stay away from as much of the road drama as humanly possible.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that stuff is you know, it happens with younger bands and bands that aren't as experienced with touring. We've had so much touring experience over the years. It's just, you know, going on tour is, you know, as comfortable as being at home these days or in the studio or something like that.
That's awesome. That's a blessing, definitely. I was looking at the tour dates, and I did not see a Dallas date on there. I did see on the 30th it had it listed as the Palladium. We do have a Palladium in Dallas. Is that your Dallas date, or what's going on? Because that's where we broadcast from. We're in Dallas right now.
To be honest with you, I don't remember there being a Dallas date on there.
Oh, man.
I could be wrong. We did a show. Did we play there earlier this year, or was that last year? We played at the Gas Monkey.
I remember that. I wasn't able to make it to that show, but I do remember hearing that you guys were there. Well,
I feel like, though, we have not played Dallas since Psychic Warfare came out, but I could be wrong.
Well,
that may have been one of the first shows that we played. But you know what? I have no idea what's going on with the Dallas show. That is definitely a good place for us to play.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, you know, Why Wouldn't We Radio is going to be there next time you guys are in Dallas, so we'll be keeping an eye on that. Now, Psychic Warfare was made last year right here in Texas. It looked like it was made in a little town that I didn't recognize. But
Dripping Springs. Yeah, that's right outside of Austin, actually.
Yeah, okay. I'm unfamiliar with Dripping Springs. But the cool thing that I thought about Psychic Warfare was it was made with the same producer, Machine, who also produced Earth Rocker in 2013. So with that garnered you your highest Billboard success to date. And he also did one of my personal favorites, Blast Tyrant, back in 2004. So I'm curious.
He certainly did.
Yeah, Machine gets, at least in my opinion, he establishes a different vibe with Clutch than other records that I've heard. What's going on there? Can you tell us a little bit about Clutch's dynamic with Machine?
Well, I think we do a lot of pre-production with him and a lot more intense and focused songwriting sessions. I think that's probably really what it is. We work with him more on the songwriting part of the thing.
Right.
Than we did with any other producers or engineers or anything that we've ever worked with.
That makes
so
sense.
I would say he probably brings that a little bit more to the table. He has a lot more musical opinions than a lot of other people that we've ever worked with. And, you know, sometimes that might infuriate us, but other times, you know, we realize that it helps us to make a better album.
Well, I mean, it's... He seems to be producing the albums that garner you a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, just some of my personal favorite Clutch music has come from albums that were produced by Machine. So I always think that's an interesting concept. Now, I was also...
We're definitely very proud of those albums we did with Machine.
I would imagine so. I would imagine so. You know, so looking back, I mean, you guys have been around for 25 years, which is amazing. But what I even find more interesting than that is you've had, there's been a rarity. You've had the same bandmates since 1991, you know, with very, very little changes. So I'm curious, what is, in your opinion, the secret to such a long-standing brotherhood in music?
I think it's the fact that we're all equally invested into the whole thing, artistically and as a business as well. So, you know, we're all in it together, you know. Everything that we do, every song that we write, every, you know, new album that we put out benefits all of us equally as artists and, you know, as, you know, business people, since we have our own label now and...
Which is awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're all equally invested in it, and we continue. Another I think the most important thing is that we never stop writing music. You know, we continue to write new music and we continue to challenge ourselves. And it's important to us to actually enjoy the songs that we've written. You know, we're not just throwing a bunch of crap out there just to get it out there. You know, we're writing the songs and beating the songs up and arranging them and rearranging them and throwing them away until, you know, we all agree that we like the song.
Yeah. Well, we actually talk a lot about roots on this show. actually, you know, bands that stick to their roots and so forth. And you guys have evolved over the years, but you've never strayed far from your original sound. You know, with the music scene that's constantly changing as it is, has that been a challenge or has it come naturally for you guys?
Well, for us, it has always been, you know, we haven't really followed any kind of scenes whatsoever. I think when we first started out, we kind of felt like we were more like Helmet or the Melvins or something in that category of music. More like Unsane, maybe even. We played a lot of shows with them back in the day.
Right on.
And we did play a lot of hardcore shows as well. So, but, you know, once we started touring, we realized that, you know, we were who we were. We didn't really fit into any particular scene at all. And we just wrote music for ourselves. That was always the most important thing, that we like our music. And, you know, every tour that we would book, you know, we would go to a town. There'd be 20 people there first time we go through headlining. Then the next time there'd be 50 people there. The next time 100 people there. So we always saw progress in the band. And that's really what it's all about, you know? Feeling like we've made some sort of progress artistically and, you know, as a touring band, just moving forward.
Seems like you're pretty much keeping ego the hell out of it, as it should be, you know? Because ego has, I think, destroyed more music than anything else. Just my opinion. I mean, you guys seem, just in the music, seem very down to earth, just like very cool people.
Yeah, I kind of feel like we've never been really a big enough band to have big egos yet. You know, maybe if I'm, you know, maybe one day if I'm a millionaire, I'll start being a dick. But I'll be really old by then. I probably won't actually do that.
I'm so glad for that. You know, I have a weird question for you. This is probably, I don't know if you've ever had this question. I kind of looked through some pictures of you playing in shows, and whenever you're looking at your guitar, you're just like looking at it so passionately, and it's kind of like in a weird romantic way, and I mean that in the best way possible.
What the hell?
Yeah, so my question for you is, what song do you feel like you bonded most with your instruments out of any song that you've ever had, just because I know, you know, telling by the pictures and your performances that you really bond with your guitar in those performances.
Well, thank you very much for saying that.
Of course.
People usually say that I just stand there and don't do anything, but thank you for realizing that I'm attempting anyway to bond with my instrument.
I notice the small things.
What song in general? I would probably say more of the jammy type stuff. Actually, the Bakerton Group stuff. We put out two albums instrumentally under the name The Bakerton Group.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of more of the instrumental bond with your instrument kind of music. It's not as much about beating you over the face with, you know, riffs constantly. So I would say the answer to your question is not one song in particular, but the two Bakerton Group albums that we put out. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but
I was going to bring that up actually a little bit later in the interview. The Bakerton Group. Tell us a little bit about the inception for the Bakerton Group and kind of who's in it. I was a little unclear on that. So yeah, shed some light on that if you don't mind.
Well, originally back in, wow, this was the mid-90s, Neil, our singer, moved out to Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't really have a lot to do, so we just started writing instrumental songs and playing shows around our area, around the D.C., Baltimore area. And we did that in the mid-90s while Neil was living out in Colorado on downtime, you know.
Right on.
We eventually put out an EP, and then we kind of put the Bakerton Group on hold for a long time. And eventually we added a keyboard player to Clutch and recorded a bunch more Bakerton Group songs and put out the first Bakerton Group album with the four of us, being me, JP, the drummer for Clutch, right. Dan, the bass player for Clutch, and Mick, the keyboard.
The keyboard
for
guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
So he was in the band for several years. He ended up playing on two Clutch albums.
It was a little unusual hearing Clutch with a keyboard.
Yeah, I think it definitely works for the songs that were written with
Agreed.
Keyboards, but maybe, you know, we were doing it a little too much in the live setting.
Oh, yeah, that's...
But eventually, for the second Bakerton Group album, Neil started playing guitar with us, and we had the keyboard player named Per Viberg, who used to be in this band called Opeth.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's my favorite Bakerton Group album, the last one that we put out. It's been, you know, 8 years, I think, at this point, since we put out that Bakerton Group stuff.
Yeah, yeah, it's been a little bit. Is there more Bakerton Group to come? Are you guys planning on doing anything else with that?
We don't have any plans at the moment, but, you know, I'm sure, you know, maybe a Bakerton Group song will appear every once in a while somewhere. You know, in a set or something. Or maybe we'll open up for ourselves.
So
that was always the most fun thing with the Bakerton Group, being able to go out and do a half-hour opening set, just opening up for ourselves. That was pretty much the best warm-up ever.
Pretty much. Oh, I would love to see that. So I'm curious, you know, looking back over the catalog of Clutch albums and obviously Bakerton Group as well, whenever you sit down to start writing a song, I guess, how does it start with a riff? Or in Clutch's case, does it start with lyrics? Or a rhythm, or how do you? What's your songwriting process? How does that get started?
It could be any or all of those things, you know. I would say probably about 75% of the time it starts off with a riff,
mm-hmm.
and we just, you know, start playing the riff and beating it up and adding stuff to it and taking stuff away, and you know, if Neil hears something that, you know, he feels like he could put vocals over top of,
mm-hmm.
we keep it. Otherwise, we just throw it away these days.
A lot of Neil's lyrics sound like they're kind of made up on the fly. Like, he just says whatever comes into his mind, which is awesome. I mean, obviously, it's worked well for you guys. His lyrics are just, they're out of nowhere sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. I could definitely not ever do what he does.
So, dating all the way back to 1993, whenever your first album came out, to the most recent in 2015, you've had 11 albums come out, which is badass. That's better than most bands do. Would picking a favorite record out of all of them be like picking a favorite child, or is there one that you just hands down say, that was the pinnacle of Clutch music?
Whenever anyone asks me a question like this, the answer is whatever the last album was.
Because that's
the truth. Because that's really the truth, you know?
Psychedelic warfare.
Yeah, for me right now, I feel like Psychic Warfare is definitely the pinnacle of Clutch's songwriting and everything else.
Yeah, I just called it psychedelic.
I thought the same thing of Earth Rocker, and then I thought the same thing of Strange Cousins from the West before that even. So, but, you know, I truly believe that. And I truly feel that way.
Well,
so for me, whatever the last song we wrote was my favorite song ever.
That makes sense. Well, and that's how it needs to be, because you need to be in a constant state of evolution and growth. So I think that's appropriate. So what's next after the tour? After the Psychic Warfare tour, what do you guys have lined up? Is it another album? Is it some downtime?
Well, we're just coming off a little bit of downtime right now, actually. We've had 6 weeks off. Nice little summer break.
Hmm.
And earlier in the year, we actually had about 3 months off, which usually doesn't happen.
That's nice.
But we're going to continue to write new music. We did a video for the song Quick Death in Texas.
Oh, I love that song.
That's Wiener's favorite song.
That is my favorite song.
All right. Well, we did a video for it recently, and we just finished that up a few days ago, actually. And that will be coming out probably before the next U.S. tour, I would guess.
We can we'll share that. We'll share it on our website.
Yeah, we're just going to continue to write music.
Oh, that's badass, too. Well, that's great news. It's great to hear.
I just love that you have, you created a Cold Night in Texas playlist on Spotify. Some of the Psychic Warfare music that I actually discovered was because of that playlist, just going through. And I love that you paired your music with some of these, also great Texas artists. It's just really, I don't know, it's not really a question that I'm asking. It's just more of like an appreciation for your, not only do you play wonderful music, but you have such a good taste in music. It's just epic. It's awesome.
Oh, cool. Well, awesome. Thanks. The guy that we have running our label has been asking us to do these Spotify playlists.
Oh, yeah.
And he asked me to do one based around the song Quick Death in Texas that was kind of like a movie soundtrack.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
So that was basically my version of a movie soundtrack.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Thanks for the compliment on that. That was awesome.
No, that's, yeah, I was checking it out. It's got a badass listing on there, so you guys should check that out. Where can they find that, Wiener? Where are you looking at?
Spotify. Yeah, Spotify. It's called Tim Salt, A Cold Night in Texas.
Nice. So this is a question that I ask a lot of our guests. From fans that have been with you since 1991 to fans that are just now catching on to you guys, what do you want to say to your people?
Well, thanks for listening. For the old people and for the new people, I would like for you to thank your parents for turning you on to us, because I've honestly met quite a few people who have been listening to us, for their entire lives, they say. I've even met a couple people who've claimed that they came to our shows when they were still in they're still in the uterus, So it's pretty amazing that
That's
actually
awesome.
Have fans that have stuck with us since 1991 and that, that have families of their own that listen to us as well. That's pretty much the most amazing thing, that's happened to me as an artist, that people actually embrace our music like that. It's amazing.
Right on. Well, obviously, you've got your tour dates and your bios and all of the collage information posted on prorock.com. Where else can people find you, see what you guys are up to?
We have a Clutch Facebook page, which is pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got Twitter and Instagram as well. So
awesome.
It took us a long time to start doing the whole social media thing.
God,
but,
I know.
It's hard.
I didn't see the internet until I was, almost 30 years old. So it took us a little while to, really embrace that side of it. But we've had a few fans. The Pro Rock website was originally started by a fan and is still run by a fan to this day.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Well, Jeremy, the other guy that's on Why Wouldn't We Radio, he had a little bit of an emergency, couldn't be here with us this evening to record the interview. He wanted to certainly send his regards and compliment you on the name Clutch. He thinks Clutch is a badass name, and he often refers to himself as Clutch now as well. He wanted me to tell you guys that. He thought you'd get a kick out of it. Do you mind doing a drop for us? Do you mind saying, "Hey, this is Tim with Clutch, and you're listening to Why Wouldn't We Radio"?
Oh yeah, sure, of course.
All right, right on. We'll do that here in just momentarily. But in the meantime, Tim, thank you so much for joining us here. It has been a humble pleasure to have you on, and we're huge fans. We love the music. And we just want you to keep on keeping on, brother. We'll be looking forward to seeing what comes after Psychic Warfare.
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for all the positivity and all the compliments. That was awesome.
Awesome, man. Thank you. So we're gonna take a quick break here. We'll be right back, guys, to Why Wouldn't We Radio.
Yep.
And Tim, just hang on the line with us for just a moment, brother.
All right.
Hey, thank you, sir.
Carry me away. Don't be king your game.
guys. Why Wouldn't We Radio is hanging out with you here on the air. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Mr. Tim Salt of Clutch.
He did good, and I appreciated his roots.
Yeah.
The roots question.
Of course.
We went back to his roots. We talked about the roots. And
thanks, Sheila.
We also gave you a shout-out since you were apparently too busy to be here.
I was being Clutch somewhere else.
You were too busy to be Clutch elsewhere. We have a very, very special segment that we're going to introduce you to this evening. Really what we're going to do, because we are so thoroughly up against it tonight, time-wise.
Yep.
We are going to be able to preview it.
It'll be a preview, an amended time segment, but we want to submit this to you, America, as one of our segments that we'll be doing when we go to our three-hour show, because I know that you will demand something like this from Why Wouldn't We Radio.
Why wouldn't you?
How could you not?
Do you want to... You know what? It was your genius idea to name it this. Would you like to give them the name?
Yep. Let's cue it up, DG.
Just let that sink in.
This is not rock.
You know it's hot out. Yes, that's right.
It is.
It's that time, and I believe we will call this segment, It's Hard Out There for a Pimp.
It is hard out there.
Ike, you and I have discussed this many, many times in different types of dating scenarios. Mm-hmm. You know, what this segment really is good for, and let me let our listening audience know. This is good for if you're single, you're not dating, if you are in a relationship, because it will be over soon. Mm-hmm. or even if you're married.
They all have a shelf
life. If you're married, I would the stats say, and I'm sorry to tell you this, you're probably going to get divorced, so you need to listen to this to make sure you're ready when you are released back out into the wild. So
you need to know what to look for.
So in this amended segment, Ike and I would like to discuss with you what exactly a rescue is.
Mm-hmm.
We will cover what else?
We will define a maintenance.
Maintenance.
Chick or chick. Dude.
Mm-hmm. And if we have time,
for those women out
we
there.
Will explain the art of go ugly early.
We'll also figure out what kind of chick I am, apparently.
You know what? You can use your own deductive reasoning to determine that.
I mean, there's other things that we'll get to within Hard Out There for a Pimp at another time, white trash mouth, things like that. But right now, so let's talk a little bit about what we've encountered, Ike, and that is the maintenance chick.
Maintenance.
What is a maintenance chick?
So a maintenance chick is not necessarily a booty call, because at some point we get a little bit too old to call something a booty call.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what a maintenance chick basically is, it is a average looking girl.
I'd say pretty much any character that Renee Zellweger has ever played.
Yes. Something like not extremely hot, not really ugly, but not somebody that you're going to go on the long run with.
You're not gonna mount the head on the wall, so to speak.
No, you're not.
But at the same time, you're not gonna be ashamed of it.
It's the girl
for days and weeks to come.
It's the girl that goes out with her two fat friends, and it's her, you know, because she's very average looking, but it's good enough, and you know, and she's got those two heifers beside her, so you know you can swoop in.
There is a such thing as a maintenance dude too. I feel you getting huffy.
I'm just like steaming over here. Like what the hell?
Well, so from a maintenance experience, the purpose she serves is what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
You're staying in the game from a sexual aspect. You're staying on top.
You don't get rusty.
So beneficial.
Because you can get rusty, and you don't want to have to always go to X videos to have that happen.
I'm just saying, if you leave the car sitting out there for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, every once in a while in the wintertime, you want to make sure that it's going to go start whenever you need it to.
Exactly. Well, the beautiful thing about the maintenance chick is she realizes what she is.
She knows.
And she's
resort.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. No, that would be go ugly early.
Yeah,
that would be the GUE.
See? But there's a system. Respect the system.
I quit, baby. I don't understand.
So from the maintenance chick, she's basically what you keep on the side. She's not necessarily a booty call.
No.
You're not ashamed of her, but you're trying
You to might keep, even go have coffee.
You might have coffee.
You might have coffee.
You,
really early in the morning to avoid public.
No. She's She's average looking.
Maintenance.
You're not listening.
Renee
Zellweger.
Yes. Thank you. There it is.
Lemon face.
Lemon face.
Oh my gosh.
So that,
you don't have to get that drunk.
Right.
No.
So if you're okay, so the maintenance chick is obviously you're single, you're getting ready to meet, you know, you're basically staying ready for your next person that you actually want to date.
Yeah, right? So your next full timer.
And it's easy to break ties with her. There's no emotion there.
There's no emotion.
She served her purpose, right?
Yeah.
So some guys make the mistake, and I've
seen there are
this.
Dudes that serve the same purpose. It's true.
Well, some guys make the mistake and they rush too quickly if they don't have a maintenance chick, and they go toward the rescue.
Yeah, and that was
the rescue chick.
Oh my goodness.
Is like
that was painful.
I would say Courtney Love would be my rescue chick.
Oh my god!
Yeah, that's really
so. Somebody that's beat up, been through
just
it.
Imagine. Imagine the poor sick puppies that you see on the Sarah McLachlan commercials.
And
it's like they need a home.
They need a home.
And it's just like when you see them out in public, and like because we identified one, okay, and it was like
she was sitting by herself at a restaurant, and then she posted on Facebook. I could see her. She took a picture of like all of the the background, and you could tell that I wish we had a picture of because DG's voice is great. She posted in the background, you know what's going on, that she's sitting by herself, and she looked like a rescue.
No.
She was like a ratty blonde, like. You can see roots.
She's been sleeping in her car.
Sleeping
for
in the car, at least gave the appearance
weeks.
Of. Yeah,
it was, I could. One of the you could see her. You could clearly see her bra.
Yeah,
details
exactly.
of her bra.
You know, at some point, I believe Ike that she might have been at the very least like a 7 out of a 10, right?
I guess ladies, remember on the application, make sure that you're not.
But life happened. Life happened, and it happened hard.
She got rained on a couple of times.
Rained on. Left that, rained so hard. You know, ended up in a trailer park at some point in her life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and just life wasn't good.
But there's, okay, now the good news with a rescue is that there is. Hence the title, A Happy Ending.
Not necessarily.
But do you want to be that happy ending?
No, because you don't want... Because there's not really... That goes to the thing. The problem with the rescue...
What version of happy ending you're thinking of.
The difference between the rescue, obviously, and the maintenance chick is the maintenance chick is obviously more attractive. She's not going to be emotionally tied to you. The problem with the rescue is it's like a cat.
Mm-hmm.
If you feed the damn thing, it won't go away.
It's
so
come
there's
back.
A leeching effect. She's already had a hard life.
Yeah.
And so she won't go away.
And true of any stray, you don't really know what you're going to catch.
You don't. So it's a huge risk.
What the hell?
It's not like you can put her down. You can't euthanize her. You're just going to have to use a fake name, I would suggest, or something like that.
Fake name.
This is why we don't have any.
And I hate that. There's so much more that I have to talk about the maintenance and the.
This is a warm up, really.
It really is. And I'll give you one last thing to preview so we stay on time. The GUE. And here's what you get, guys. And this is my suggestion to you that something that I've learned a while back. It depends on when you're going out, you've got to decide very quickly if. You're going out to hang out and try to get that prize, or if you're just going out to get some.
Are you hunting for sport or are you hunting for food?
Exactly. Sport or food. If it is food, what I will submit to you, Ike, NDG, walk in to whatever establishment you go to, and you find the ugly chick, the fat chick, whatever you got to do, because you're there for the purpose. You're there to go ugly early.
The baby
gazelle.
You're
hedging your bets. You're going at it because you know you'll be able to close. Let's say you got an early morning, right? You don't want to spend you got to get up early.
This is real talk, ladies. This is their real personality showing here.
You've got to get up early in the morning, and you don't really have time to sit and buy a lot of drinks.
I don't have time to go to McDonald's.
Or buy her dinner or go to McDonald's. You know, you're just going to get in, you get out, you kick her out, and you're done. But you still are able to maintain. The only problem... With that piece, even though you're maintaining, you know, for the person that you end up finding, is that I just lost my train of thought. I just started laughing. I just started thinking. Where was that on that Ike? I was looking at the clock.
Maintenance.
About maintaining and getting ready for the chick that you want to date eventually.
Right. Oh, the
that you never ever tell about any of this other stuff.
Yeah. So with the
trust already building.
I'm completely gone again. I forgot. You guys got supposed to keep me on task here.
It was your sentence.
Oh, between her and the maintenance, I think is
there's a
is,
big difference.
Oh, the difference is your friends will give you hell for it, for the GUE. But once you explain, hey, listen, this was just a GUE. I was putting that down. This was my strategy was GUE. And if you announce that to your friends going into it, they will accept you and they will accept what you're doing and respect it.
Yeah, like so okay, acceptable. Here's what I'm gonna do.
So if you're going out to get laid that night, announce to your friends you're GUEing. Hedge your bets, take her home, get done, wake up in the morning, refreshed.
Yep.
She's not there. And
female
that,
rides if, down if, the toilet
if
right
you just
here.
Wanna, if you just want to have, just to stay in shape for the next woman in your life, you have a maintenance chick.
So you don't have a 5-second breakdown.
If you can't stand being alone and all by yourself, go out and get a rescue.
I do want to preview. You've got to be careful because the maintenance can be slightly emotionally damaged. That is a booby trap.
No, because she'll end up settling on a lesser guy. But I think we'll get to it. We're up against it.
A lesser guy.
And we'll have to talk about that at another time. And it's hard out there for
a pimp. We'll peel this onion.
So I hope that you like the preview of It's Hard Out There for a Pimp, where we get dating advice, relationship advice. And that's what I have.
Yeah. No, that works for me. What we're going to do now, DG, are we ready to cue up that interview with Mr. Brad Roberts? All right. We are going to go, in the name of time, here straight away. Oh, by the way, that was Eva Under Fire a moment ago with Anchors.
Yes.
Good buddies of ours. The contest that Wiener was speaking on earlier, that would be the band. So as badass as they are, go check out their Facebook. Go love Eva Under Fire. Now, with that being said, let's launch right into our interview. It was an honor to be able to speak with the one and only Mr. Brad Roberts, the voice behind the Crash Test Dummies.
That was an interesting
Welcome voice. Back, guys, to Why Wouldn't We Radio. We're back on the air here, and this is truly a special day for us.
Yes.
It is. This is a big day. We have the pleasure of speaking with Mr. Brad Roberts of the one and only Crash Test Dummies. Brad, how you feeling today, brother?
I feel quite well. How do you feel?
Oh man, we're on top of the world. We're happy to be talking to you. It's a pleasure and an honor.
Ditto, my friend.
Oh, thank you. We've got a little bit of ground that we want to cover with you here, have some laughs and get some questions answered. How does that sound?
That sounds perfect.
Awesome. So,
right up my alley.
Well, then let's add a little bit of clarity first off. The Crash Test Dummies are actually no longer technically together, from what I understand. But you were touring with them as recently as last year. Is that right?
I did tour last year a little bit, but just as a duo with a friend of mine, Stuart Cameron. And I was billed as Brad Roberts of Crash Test Dummies, as opposed to it being a Crash Test Dummies tour. No. The last time Crash Test Dummies toured was technically would have been about 5 or 6 years ago when we put out our record Ooh La La. But even then, we didn't bring my brother, the bass player, and our drummer, Mitch, with us. It was just three people. In part because many of the folks that are in the band have families now, and they're raising their kids, and it's just not... I would have a hard time respecting them if they did want to be on the road all the time and they had kids, to be honest. So it's just the way things work out sometimes.
Very true. That's respect. How was it sharing that kind of success with your brother throughout the years? Because he played bass, correct?
Yes, he did. And I actively pursued getting him to play bass for me.
And I had a hell of a time dragging one of the bar band he was in called Generator. He owed him $800 and said he couldn't possibly, you know, leave the band until he paid it off. And I was a bartender at the time, and I just handed him my tips. I was like, dude, get out of that band now. Join mine. I have a record deal. You don't. And, of course, I knew damn well that having a record deal meant basically nothing and that we had only a tiny chance of going anywhere. But I pitched it to him and got him in the band. And, you know, he's great to have around. He's always been a good ally. Before Dan was a guy who just didn't want to try anything new or try anything that I wanted to try. It was a very frustrating experience. Dan's not like that at all. He's also an incredible bass player, and I think he really got a chance to shine when he started to play with the band on the second record.
And there's nothing worse than a stiff bass player, man.
No.
Nothing. Actually, you know, our other bass player he was a great player. He had tremendous feel, but just complaining all the time. I remember I brought in a bunch of demos, including Superman song, and he was like, you know, I only really like one of these songs. Why don't you go write 10 more and I'll pick another one? I'm like, dude, you go write 10 fucking songs. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
And I'm like, dude, you go write 10 songs. You go write 10 songs, and I'll listen to them, and we'll see how that goes. Of course, he admitted then that he couldn't write songs. But I looked about how far he got.
So let's go back to Superman's song. You brought up Superman's song, sure. And that was really your first big hit in Canada. On a personal note, I think that any song that opens up with a line like "Tarzan wasn't a ladies' man" is destined to be great. Anyway, I'm curious to know where your head was whenever you were writing that first album and most specifically Superman's song.
Superman's song was, believe it or not, the first song that I ever wrote.
No way.
Wow.
The first song that I sat down and said, okay, I'm going to write a song now. And, you know, I had written, when I was a kid, silly songs that I didn't attach any importance to. Just because I'm kind of a verbal person. But, that's pretty close to the truth. I just remembered that when I was 18 and just about to start university, I wrote a song. I wasn't very happy with it, and I thought, you know, I'm having a hard time with this. And I had never really intended to be a songwriter. I just wanted to be a lead guitar player, like Ace Frehley from Kiss. You know, so, I mean, I was 10 years old when those guys put out their big record, so I was a natural sucker for their entertainment. But in any case, I did write this one song before university, and I really felt that it was, you know, pretty crappy. And the problem was I was using too many words, which is a problem with a lot of lyricists when they start. You really have to be able to peel it back. And when I graduated from university years later, as I spent about 5 years there, I was in much better shape because I'd studied both the philosophy and I'd read a lot of poetry, well, literature generally, British literature mostly. So I knew about rhyme schemes and metrical schemes and scansion and how to read a poem on a technical level.
Well, I will also say, I'm sorry, I was just going to tell you.
That's okay. I was just going to say it's had a huge influence on me, obviously. It made it possible for me to write that first song, Superman song. I don't think it could have come out any other way.
Yeah, I understand completely. And that your usage of the language and what you're able to convey in your songs, like that is actually the, you know, the even the musical standpoint aside, the lyrics in your songs are what I find to be most entertaining. You know, that's I think that the ideas and what you're able to express lyrically in your music is amazing, honestly. I want to bring up, I laugh already, I want to bring up the song that you're probably best known for, and it has a very interesting title. It's
yes, indeed.
That is, you know, basically for a title, that is that's 12 M's and some spaces.
Yeah, and a disc jockey's nightmare, I was told back in the day.
Well,
a disc jockey's.
Yeah, I think so.
Using that old term.
I personally defend your decision to name the song such a thing, but I'm curious. Has there ever been a point since then that you have regretted naming the song that, or have you have you stuck by it the whole time?
Well, you know, I've had a lot of questions about that song. Never quite that one. So good on you.
I told you. I told you. I was going to hit you with some stuff.
Yes,
I've never
that's
heard.
Right. You didn't tell me. The quick, easy answer is no. Absolutely not. Never regretted it. The long and winded answer, which I will give you, and then you can cut later if you want. Well, you listeners out there. Now you will have to cut this out because I forget what we were talking about. What was I about to talk about?
You were about to talk about the title.
The title, I'm sorry.
You just shorten it to then. Okay, cool.
Indeed. So with regards to I never was worried about that as a title. You know, once it was set. Let me start that again. Regarding I would say that no, I don't regret the title. It's kind of a funny way that the title came about. And I didn't tell anybody this for a long time, believe me. But when I first wrote that song, I had three verses, and I had a melody for the chorus, but no words. So I made the demo, and I said to my band, listen, band, I'm going to fill in the words later. They came back to me, however, and they said, oh, we think it sounds great like that. Don't change that. And I thought, well, you know, maybe they're right. And as I listened to the song, I realized that it was something of a happy accident, that after each verse, which depicts the sort of weird life of each child, which is basically what the verses are, three different children, three different scenarios painted, that there was kind of a reflective quality to the humming in between. It was like you had a chance to breathe and think about what you just heard. And then I realized that words would probably be intrusive and that this really was working, that the band had a point. Of course, smart-ass reporters would say to me, so what's the matter, man? Couldn't you think of any words? And to them I would say, oh, no, man. Listen, this is a case of less is more, and I had a whole philosophy about why the song had no words in it and how this was a very conscious attempt on my part to bring about this aesthetic reality, which couldn't have been a bigger load of bull ding on the prairie than you could imagine. Bull ding on the prairie, by the way, that's the Canadian for bullshit.
Oh, yeah, I like that. Well, the good thing is you stayed to your roots, and I'm sure Ike will talk to you about roots soon enough. And,
I certainly will.
I think, you know, after you got out of university, you learned less is more. And, you know, for me, my takeaway for you and what I have learned already is how to pick up chicks. Because not only did you enforce to me that less is more, but even I do the same thing as you do, is I kind of blank out when people are talking to me, specifically women, and you were able to recover a great deal, and I appreciate that, Brad.
Yep.
Well, your misogyny is most charming.
Right. Speaking of women, and I don't know, this is going to be an interesting question. So I was looking at older pictures of you, and you had this luxurious long hair, and I was wondering if you had ever considered regrowing it out to be super long again.
No, I think I'd look stupid.
Oh no, but
I don't think I could wear it anymore. Unless the only way I could grow up my hair again was if I was going to grow up my beard and like have just be a total hippie, I think, and bury myself in hair.
The homeless look.
But I think for a long time I relied on that hair in terms of girls seem to love my long hair, and I was very worried when I cut it.
Yep.
It was almost emasculating, which is kind of a strange reversal on gender stereotypes. But I don't think I could pull that off.
It's such a great hair.
I'm very lucky to have all of it still.
Yes, you are. Yeah. Many people are jealous of this conversation we're actually having, the option to regrow the hair without going to men's hair club to do so.
I was gonna go back to the album God Shuffled His Feet that was on. The third child in that's referenced is having a religious experience, and it sounded to me like a almost a Pentecostal church type atmosphere that they were in. Without going too far into that, I noticed, of course, even in the title and several different songs, there were innumerable religious undertones all throughout it, and sometimes outright ideas of spirituality. I'm curious, was there a specific message from God Shuffled His Feet that you were trying to get across to people?
I would say definitely not. I really tried to avoid messages as much as I can. I'd rather a lyric stimulate questions than provide answers. That sounds a little bit hoity-toity, but there you go.
That's perfect. That's the best answer you could have given. Make people think.
Thanks. At the end of Superman's song, in the last verse there, as you point out, there's a little kid who's going through a situation where he's with his parents at church, and they are indeed Pentecostal, as you mentioned. And, he's baffled. Baffled by his parents when they drop to the floor and speak in tongues. Mm-hmm. Now, this was actually based very closely on the experience of a good friend of mine. It was a she, actually, and the boy, it's a boy. But she went to church with her parents, and she was absolutely terrified, because when they did this, it's like, they seemed to not be themselves anymore. And for a little kid, your parents are your gods, and if the gods go crazy, then you're screwed. So she found it very terrifying, and I thought that was that was an insight that I wouldn't have necessarily had on my own, just thinking about that experience and what it would be like.
I dated a Pentecostal girl.
That's how that ended up in there.
Yeah, I know. I did. I dated a Pentecostal girl, and that is how I knew that it was in reference to a Pentecostal church. I went as a teenager, and it scared the hell out of me, and I never went back. So
Because of the girl?
I did. I went to church with her and her family.
The reason a lot of us go to church.
Oh my goodness, that's so bad.
Okay, so then I'll go a step further. Go ahead.
I would imagine that getting any sort of traction at all with the Pentecostal girl would be perhaps difficult.
Yes. Yes, it absolutely was. But she was also very repressed. That's a conversation.
Rebellious.
That's a conversation you and I can have offline later. I'll tell you all about it. Right now we're talking about you,
Brad. Yes.
I want to go a step further. I also want to talk about Peter Pumpkinhead. So now, because I thought that you were going to tell me that you were trying to insert religious thematics into God Shuffled His Feet, but now that you told me that you weren't, I was drawing a lot of parallels between, and this is going to sound weird as hell, I was drawing a lot of parallels between Peter Pumpkinhead and Jesus. Did I miss
that? Well,
go ahead.
In fact, I think that you're clearly onto something. I should say first that song is not written by me. One of the very few songs Fascist Dummies have recorded that isn't written by me. That's a song that Fascist Dummies covered. It's by a guy named Andy Partridge from a band called XTC. And they didn't have nearly the commercial success with that song that we did. Mm-hmm. And once it got into Dumb and Dumber, it became a smash. A smash. Listen to me talking like a Becker coming first. But it did become a pretty big song for us. And as a matter of fact, the people who were making the movie Dumb and Dumber, not only did they put in the soundtrack, they also came to Crash Test Dummies to begin with and said, you know, you do this song called Peter Pumpkinhead in your set. We'd like that to be on our movie soundtrack. I was like, wow, this is weird. I mean, this is not how it happens. Usually, there's a song and they want it. You know, they don't usually get you to record a cover tune that you do in your set. It's just kind of unheard of, and I thought it was actually fairly forward thinking on the part of the people that were doing the soundtrack, because it wouldn't have occurred to me to make that record. Anyways, we made it, and Reed sings that one. She's usually our backup vocalist.
I know she took point on that a bit more than usual.
Yes. The video that XTC made for the song Peter Pumpkinhead portrayed Peter Pumpkinhead as a combination of Jesus Christ and John F. Kennedy. He will get killed in the end. And it was very cleverly done.
I
thought it was cleverly done, although Andy Partridge wasn't very impressed with it.
Well,
I know Andy a little bit, so I get to say stuff like that.
I dug it. Now, this is, now here's something that I really, one of the questions as a fan, you know, not just our radio personality, but as a fan, I wanted to know about. In 1999, Give Yourself a Hand came out, that particular record. And I noticed a drastic change in style for the Crash Test Dummies.
Yes.
And I was curious as to why. Like, why did you make corrections?
That's a good question. When I finished doing A Worm's Life and I was faced with writing a fourth album, the first thing I did was go to a songwriter's, I don't know what you call it, a bunch of songwriters get together in a castle in France owned by Copeland, Stuart Copeland's brother from the Police, is a big manager.
Yeah.
I can't remember his first name right now. It's
I think I know who you're talking about, though.
Anyways, this guy is quite a charismatic manager, and like I say, Stuart Copeland's brother, and he's as famous as Stuart Copeland is in his own way. He had this castle in France, and he would invite all these writers to come and write together, to put three people together in each room, spread out over the grounds, because there was like many, many people involved. Mm-hmm. And the idea was you write a song in the afternoon, you record it in the evening, and you do another one the next day with two new people. and he would write and record a song every day. And, you know, it was an incredible experience. And I ran with that, and I started doing a ton of co-writing that I'd never done before. And I wrote a whole bunch of songs that were more or less in the vein of what I'd written up until then. Now, having said all that, after about 35 songs had been submitted to BMG, my A&R guy, who's my boss at the record label, said, I'm just not hearing any hits. So, So what I did was, I had sat down one night and I wrote a song called called "I Love Your Goo." That title I do regret.
I Love Your Goo.
What a beautiful song!
It sounds like.
It had a very sort of it had a groove to it, which is not what Crash Test Dummies have done in the past. It felt, you know, much more urban, to use a word that's been overused. And my voice, I hadn't known this, but I have a falsetto that I'd really never used, and it became appropriate in the context of this kind of groovy lyric that I'd written. And so I started to write a few more lyrics that were along these lines. And here's how they were distinctly different from anything I'd done before. In the past, I'd written the song, the melody first, and put the lyric in after. Uh-huh. And my theory was, well, you know, if just humming it, it sounds good, then it's got to be great when you've got words. You know, you can't fail. My new theory was, I sit down in front of the computer, and I write a lyric, kind of like you'd write a poem. I don't have any music in my mind, and I'm just, you know, using rhyming couplets or whatever I'm using. And I'm writing about 8 beats per line, so 8 syllables per line, or 10 syllables. And I'm working in these rhyme schemes and syllable schemes. Now, that wasn't actually a mechanical process as it sounds, because I've been writing lyrics for so long that I get into that rhythm and I start to think in rhyme after a while. But what I was doing was sitting down in front of the computer and just saying, okay, don't think about anything, don't start with an idea, just close your eyes and go. Uncensored. And what I found was that I got a lot of garbage. But then I would hit a streak, and it would be gold. And I started to get lyrics that way. So instead of sweating my balls off trying to figure out what to write about, I just put it together from improvising. And that turned into the bit, a record that sounded much different, mm-hmm. much, and the record company finally said, oh, you want to go in this direction? We love that! So, and I was quite happy too. I was quite happy too, and a little surprised that they were into it, because it was such a change. But I was very happy to experiment with this new part of my voice that I found, and with this new technique of sort of writing almost automatically that I found, and that became my favorite record that I've ever done, aside from God Shuffled His Feet, which is, you know, really my baby.
That was the benchmark.
The first record, I didn't really know what I was doing, and I had a lung infection, and I sang clearly, and my drummer was terrible, and, you know, I'm not blaming it on the band, believe me, it was me just as much as anything else. And there was one good song on there, called Superman Song. In a way, my old stupid bass player was right. That was the best one by far.
You gotta hate that.
And,
I got a weird question for you again, I'm sorry to cut in there. You were talking about the writing. Oh, go ahead.
I said, you'll have to cut in because I won't stop talking.
Yeah. I already warned you. He's worried.
He did.
He already told you how worried he is.
I see that you teach mantra and movement classes at the Twisted Trunks Yoga Studio in Soho, New York. And I was really interested in knowing, like, your favorite mantra, either that you've written or that you practice daily, just because it's like, it's just one interesting that you teach yoga there. And then also, you know, it's just curious because, you know, I like to know that kind of thing.
Well, did you know that I made a record of mantras?
Yes, I did.
You probably do. Oh, you do?
Yes. Let me make sure I got the name correct. Like, some terrible.
Yeah, verify.
It's Rajanka Mantra.
Maybe let him pronounce it.
Yeah.
Actually, she's got it, Rajanika.
Oh, okay, cool.
Rajanika. It means, actually, most people can't pronounce that, so good job.
Thanks.
But, nice. That record came about as a result of a physical fitness program, oddly enough. In the very big picture, and you're noticing now that it's true, I do talk a lot, and I will go back to the beginning of the mantra question, because basically, at a certain point in my life, when I hit about 40, I went to the doctor, and he said, wow, you've got high blood pressure and high blood sugar and this, that, and the other thing, and I'd never had anything wrong with me in my life. And a few years later, I was just feeling fat, and I was fat. And just kind of making myself sick. Mm. I'd walk by a mirror and see this fat guy. I'd be like, who's that? Oh, fuck, it's me. So anyways, I started to do yoga. And I did it primarily for the physical aspect of it. I liked the idea of being able to do all of this work without having to use any machine whatsoever. It's just you and the mat making it happen. I think there's something very elegant in that. And I love the idea of a sequence of poses. You know, it's something that can be done in a very meditative way. And I shed like 30 pounds and became strong and flexible, and I never sang better in my life from all the breath work that I did. And I was like, this is just great. And so much so that, you know, I really, when I do things, I tend to do them all the way or not at all. And, you know, I was going constantly, and I had a private teacher, and I had to do it until I got to the point where I could teach it. Because that's just partly because that's, I guess, the way I am. Partway through getting back in shape, as it were, I got more into the meditation aspect of it. I learned that doing yoga was actually, the physical positions were just a precursor for meditation.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they fit into the picture of yoga. The idea was to learn how to be able to sit for a long time without experiencing discomfort,
right,
which takes practice and
it does.
Opening up your body. So I heard there was this guy who did lectures named Douglas Brooks about tantric yoga, and he had never done a yoga class in his life. He was a cyclist. But he's a scholar at the University of Rochester, who teaches in the religious studies department, and he can breathe Sanskrit. He knows, you know, tens of thousands of mantras, and he's an extremely well-educated man who knows a great deal about the history of, you know, Indian thought and particularly tantric Hinduism. And I found that all extremely intellectually powerful. I had never studied Eastern philosophy, and really, philosophy over there comes in the guise of religion. They never did shed their mythical characters. They kept them in the conversation, but the conversation got just as sophisticated, if not more so, in the East than it did in the West.
Well,
and part of that whole study was mantra and the idea that it sounds like, you know, sort of magic spell shit, but the idea is that by uttering certain syllables, which are inherently sacred, you will create powerful connections with the universe.
Makes sense.
And that's a very truncated version of what mantra is, but
yeah, that's good. I'm
basically
try that.
What it's about.
I'm going to try that out when I go out on dates and see if that works with me. I'm going to take that whole...
Yeah.
And I'll follow back up with you. I'll give you my feedback.
This whole spiel is going to work for you.
Right, absolutely.
This whole spiel is going to work for you on a date.
And I'm telling you, I'm going to do
it. Fact, if you really do this shit on her... The other thing is, about tantric yoga is that there is a sexual element to it. The physical and the spiritual come together into the same world, as it were. And I can give you a little tip for if your date goes well, and
please,
that is doing penetrative intercourse.
Okay.
If you clench the perineum, which is the place between the sac, the scrotal sac, mm-hmm, and the anus, if you clench that muscle, perineum,
yep,
you will not ejaculate.
Huh.
You can decide when you want to ejaculate.
See, that, I wish I'd have known this
addressing that
years
issue.
Ago. Years ago. Because I get tired of saying, you know, this doesn't happen very often.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that only lasted 5 seconds.
Yes.
I've been there.
Yeah,
I've been there, man.
Now I know it's pinch off the gooch, and I'm good
no
to go.
No more.
Carry a clothespin in your pocket for just such an occasion.
Exactly.
The ball's been in your court the whole time, Jeremy.
Now we know.
Man, Brad, we have so much ground left to cover in everything that we want to discuss with you, but we are starting to run just a tad short on time here.
Yeah, well, I'm a little long-winded.
Hey, man, no, we're loving
awesome.
It. We're loving it. We want to have you back on the show and for a part two, perhaps, but we can talk
sure.
about that offline. While we, because I want to talk mainly, I want to also plug your new single that just came out, that you did just earlier this year. I'll be peaceful
it.
Then.
Well, thank you.
Yes, it is a beautiful,
yes.
beautiful work. I find it to be some of your most introspective.
I've listened to it every
thoughtful.
Day since you've mentioned it.
She's not lying. She does, and it is.
Oh,
it's one of the most heartfelt
so nice.
Pieces of music I've heard in a long time. So guys, go out and check out I'll Be Peaceful Then. It's on Apple Music. It's on Spotify. It's everywhere you need to find it to go listen
Let
to it.
Let it invade your ears
yeah.
in a pleasant way.
Let it sink in. But Brad, do you mind while we still have you, do you mind doing a drop for us? Do you mind saying, hey, this is Brad Roberts of Crash Test Dummies. You're listening to Why Wouldn't We Radio?
Sure.
Awesome. Awesome.
Hi, I'm Brad Roberts. Oh, I'd started already. Hi. Why Wouldn't We Radio?
Yep, that's the name of it.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. All right, I thought so. Hi, I'm Brad Roberts from Crash Test Dummies, and you're listening to Why Wouldn't You Radio?
Why wouldn't we radio if we can?
It's, why wouldn't we?
Yeah, why we?
Why wouldn't we?
Sorry. I make that same mistake, and it's
okay.
my show.
Why wouldn't you have sex? Okay, here we go. Why wouldn't you? Hi, I'm... Oh, sorry. Hi, I'm Brad Roberts from Crash Test Dummies, and you're listening to Why Wouldn't We Radio?
I got it.
Yeah, perfect.
You know what? That was bad because I lifted my voice at the end, and I felt like there was a on da 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 da.
Hey,
it didn't come.
You can take it
one more time
if you want. There you go.
Here's silence. Please. I'm at work here. Okay. Hi, I'm Brad Roberts from Crash Test Dummies, and you're listening to Why Wouldn't We Radio?
Oh, that was
perfect. Epic.
That was silky nice. Smooth.
Yep. That was perfect. That was awesome. Thank you so
Thank
much,
you.
Brad. Hey, man, this has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today. We appreciate it so much, you coming in and not coming in, but calling in and chatting with us. And we really do want to follow up with a part two interview. And yeah, we look forward to discussing that with you offline.
Yeah, sounds good.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for the interview. I appreciate it, and I know that you know what you're talking about clearly. So it's always a pleasure to actually be able to have a meaningful exchange. It was lovely.
Yes, sir.
Only all my interviews were like this.
Highest compliment you could have paid us, man. Well, guys, we're gonna take a quick break, and we will look forward to seeing you right when we come back on Why Wouldn't We Radio. This has been Brad Roberts with the Crash Test Dummies. Here is I'll Be Peaceful Then.
Hey, guys, we're back here with you live. Thank you so much for checking out our show tonight. That was our interview with the one and only Mr. Brad Roberts of yes. Crash Test Dummies. I hope you enjoyed that.
We'll be back in 2 weeks.
We will be back in 2 weeks. Don't you fear, America.
At a better time slot.
Better time slot. We're gonna come back longer and harder.
So long and hard
than we've ever been before.
Mm-hmm. We won't let you down this time.
No letdowns.
Ashley will be gone.
Yeah, we're gonna get some maintenance taken care of in the next 2 weeks.
We'll have some maintenance
before we come back.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So, with that being said, don't be surprised if next week is a rerun. Don't panic. It'll be fine.
It'll be okay.
We have not been canceled.
If anything, we've got a better, longer time slot for
better,
you guys.
Better, longer time slot.
So when you hear us, and it's real, we will be on the Blaze. Sorry.
Are you doing this again?
I'm telling you, I'm having senior moments. We'll be on the Blaze from 7 to 10 on Monday nights live. And then we'll be on Rock Rage Radio from 4 p.m. Eastern to 7 p.m.
That
Eastern
is correct. Excellent
on
work.
On Saturdays.
Rock Rage Radio.
All right. And for you guys in those other time slots, you can do the math. But this has been another episode of Why Wouldn't We Radio. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. As promised, here is I'll Be Peaceful Then by Mr. Brad Roberts of the Crash Test Dummies. Y'all have a wonderful couple of weeks. We'll see you soon.
Yes.
Why wouldn't you?
I cannot work. I cannot rest. It seems there's something on my chest. I cannot think. Can't even feel. It's just as though nothing were real. I cannot play, I cannot sing. It seems I can't do anything. The music sounds all flat and gray. The world seems oh so far away. And when it all comes to an end, I'll have no foes, I'll have no friends, and I will not be seen again. And I'll be peaceful then. Yes, I'll be peaceful then. I watch the sun go up and down. The snow blows into my small town. I watch the clock wait for its chime. The old days seem like better times. I'd like to fly away from here. There's nothing left that I hold dear. And when I've finally shown these chains, I'll be released of all my pains. And when it all comes to an end, I have no foes, I have no friends, and I will not be seen again. And I'll be
Hey guys, this is Ike with Why Wouldn't We, and you are listening to Rock Rage Radio.